Well, if you haven't met, my name is Jake. I am not Ray. As Matt Mann likes to say, I'm one of you guys. And I'm just a blessing to be up here, and by God's grace, I'm here. Thankful to Ray, who has kind of challenged us in this series to kind of teach throughout it. I'm normally downstairs with the preschoolers, but God has really put it on my heart to teach with a little bit more meat on it, so I'm just thankful to be up here today. Just a quick reminder where we started this series, we're in Mark. We started with Mark 1, verse 1. It's going to be he says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this is the whole kind of umbrella theme that Mark has in his whole gospel, is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it's a very important claim because if Jesus is the Son of God, then what he says is true. But if he isn't the Son of God, then some of us have just been following a lunatic from 2,000 years ago. So we've been peeling it back slowly, piece by piece in the book of Mark about who is this Jesus. Last week, Ray talked about the authority of Jesus and how he was given authority by the Father and he showed his authority over sickness and demons here on earth. And then how us as Christians should really have Jesus as our ultimate authority. If you haven't listened to that message, I definitely would recommend going back on our Facebook or YouTube page and looking at that message. But again, we'll be continuing in Mark, still in chapter 1. We're going to be starting in verse 39. And we're going to be answering the question, who is this Jesus again, with, he is the one who is willing. And so we'll get to hear another powerful story of what the power of Jesus Christ had when he walked this earth. So if you turn with me to your Bibles and Mark again, chapter 1, starting in verse 39, this is the living and active word of the Lord. And he went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But he went out and began to freely talk about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for that we are able to worship in your house, Lord. We thank you for your word and how it speaks to us daily. May you move me out of the way, Lord, and let your hearts preach true. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're still in the very beginning stages of Jesus' ministry. He's been going around this regional area of Galilee and kind of in and out of Capernaum, if you will. And he's been proclaiming the good news, preaching the gospel, casting out demons and cleansing people. And when a man comes and comes across his path who really shouldn't be there, it's a leprous man. It's a leper, someone with a skin condition. And in Leviticus, in the law, it tells us how lepers are supposed to be treated. So in Leviticus chapter 13 says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. This disease in modern times is called Hansen's disease. It's a disease where your fingers or your toes, or your kind of those limbs, kind of begin to go numb and they start to decay and rot away. And as we saw in the video, there's red spots on your body or on your head. This is why they're supposed to have their head hang loose. And luckily, you know, nowadays there's a cure for it, but what has rotten away cannot be made whole, cannot be brought back. So once you find out you have the disease, you can be cured, but you cannot be mended what has already been lost. So it had to have been very obvious, as we saw in that video, that this person was a leper. Everyone in the crowd knew that he was a leper. He had to be unclean. He had to be living outside. And He was ceremonially unclean. And what did he say to Jesus when he came to him? He said, and in verse 4, he said, a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Other versions say he begs, or he kneels. He's been left alone. He has to live alone. He's alone and he's afraid. He's been pushed out of society, of everyone's own people. He's miserable and dejected. But he has heard of this hope of Jesus. He has heard of this man walking around, cleansing people, healing people. And he thought, maybe if I come across him, he'll cleanse me. And that's what happens. He comes in forth Jesus. And right as there seemed to be no hope for him, Jesus appeared. And maybe that's you right now. Maybe you just feel lost, alone, and afraid. Maybe you feel like you just get out of bed every morning, but you really don't know what's getting you out of bed. Or when you look in the mirror, you don't really know the person who stares back at you. And maybe you've even been so far away, you've kind of left your friends, left your family, because you're just a big disappointment and you don't want them to know who you are. But there's a reason God has you here today. There's a reason God has you to listen to his word. Look how this man asked this question. He says, if you will. He was not demanding of Jesus. He knew the power of Jesus. He said, not your will, but not my will, but yours. He trusted in the true goodness of God. He knew this man had the power to cleanse him. In Luke, in Luke's gospel, it says this man called him Lord. So he truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God. And he didn't just know it though, he believed it. It says, if you will, he said, if you will, you can make me clean. He must have seen him do it already. He must have seen some people made new. He was in full submission to Christ. He brought his full self to the Lord. He wasn't worried about others in the crowd crying out to leave. He wasn't worried about the scoffs in the crowd. He wasn't looking at anything. He was looking at the hope that Jesus has for all of us. And what's Jesus do? Verse 41 says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. This pity that Jesus feels for this man is not out of sadness for him. It's out of compassion. The word pity in the original language, it means like his inner workings were disturbed. He was cut to the heart for this man. He knew this man needed a savior, not because this man has done wrong or right, but because he knew he needed to be cleansed. Come to the throne of grace and you will find cleansing. It's also good to note, any time a leper is mentioned in Scripture, is that they are cleansed, not healed. That's what it says. It says that they are cleansed, not healed. And that's on purpose. They do that on purpose because this is pointing to a bigger picture than the physical ailment. This is pointing to the sin in our lives. Jesus has come to cleanse our sin ultimately. And when you come to Jesus with your stress, you find peace. When you come to Jesus with your anger, you find joy. When you come to Jesus with your anxiety, you find comfort. When you come to Jesus with your guilt, you find forgiveness. When you come to Jesus with your whole self, he gives you his whole life. Jesus never had any sickness, no cough, no sneeze, no fever, nothing. But some may say he died. But let's see what Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 17. This is Jesus speaking. He says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Again, this authority piece that Jesus has. He laid down his life for you. Every time we sin, we separate ourselves farther and farther from the Creator of our soul. Jesus knows our hurt. He was tempted in every way. We really don't know the full force of sin, Because we give in all the time. We give in every day. But Jesus felt the full force of sin and never gave in. He lived a perfect life. And this is why he can die for your sins and my sins. Because he was perfect. He was a perfect sacrifice. The willing one gladly paid the price you and I deserve. He was willing when he bore our shame as he was stuck with a crown of thorns and whipped. He was willing when he took our punishment as he carried the huge cross up the mountain. He was willing when he took our guilt away by being nailed to the cross and dying a physical death. A death we all deserve. He willingly took death in our place. He willingly took death in our place so that we could be made right with God. He is the one who is willing. He's willing now even. He's willing now to cleanse us. He's willing now to heal us in all of our brokenness. He's willing now to be received into his family. He also will return one day. He will return one day in all his glory, in all his power, and claim his kingdom. Well, maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, but life really hasn't changed much. This is when we need to kind of check our hearts, have a heart check. If we've been following Jesus for a while and we haven't had radical changing in our lives, we need to check our hearts. But if we just got a little wet or just said a few words, whatever sin that you're holding on to, give it to God. Whatever sin that is keeping you from the Creator of the world, let's do what the Bible says. Let's do what the Bible says and let's put it to death. Come to the throne of grace and you will find peace. Look for someone to help you if you need. We have a men's group going in every Thursday. I'm usually there. We have women who get together here at the church, probably tonight. They get together all the time. But find someone to help you. And if you feel like you can't talk to anybody, go to his word. Earnestly seek him, and you will find true life in his word. In Jesus' culture, it was forbidden for teachers to touch someone who was unclean. And what does he do? He walks up to the man with an open hand, a man begging, and says, "I'm willing." He stretches out his hand. He doesn't turn and run. He doesn't look at him in shame. He looks at him with compassion, like we might. He looks upon his face and cleanses him. And this is what he does to us too. He has an open hand with the gift of salvation for each of us. It's not a closed hand. It's not a secret club. It's an open palm for all of us. What we have done to part ways with God, God has made whole. And let's see if we accept this gift, let's see what Jesus says in John 15, starting in verse 13. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." When we are brought into right relationship with God, our identity changes. We are now called friends of God. We change our thinking to what the world wants, to what Christ has for us. Not that this is going to be easy. This is not an easy thing. This is a difficult thing, as a lot of you can test for. There will still be struggles. There will still be heartaches. There will still be loss. But when we receive this identity, this new identity, we receive true life. We didn't know what true life was until we bowed our unclean hands at his feet. And we didn't know what true love was, and so he brings us close. The Creator of love brings us close. And look, when Jesus heals him, it's an immediate process. It's immediate. It's no process at all. There's not a steps he has to do, not a prayer he has to do. He's just immediately cleansed. Only when Jesus, the Son of God, walked this earth was power like this ever seen. In a blink of an eye, this man was restored right in front of them. All his filth was removed. All his strength restored. The shock and awe of the crowd could be seen. The breathtaking power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth right in front of them. And then after Jesus cleanses him, what does he tell him in verse 43? It says, and Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. This shows us how Jesus really cared for the Old Testament. He followed it perfectly. You'd think, some people think like there's an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. So why would Jesus want him to go get cleansed if there's a new covenant? It's because God is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He wanted him to go get ceremonially clean. The sternly charge is in the direct language is like a snorting of a horse. So it's a strong commandment. It's a strong charge he tells this man. He wants them to go prove to the priest the power of what Christ has. But what does he do instead in verse 45? But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. He didn't do what he asked. He did the opposite. He actually did what he said not to do. He openly talked. Isn't this our story? Jesus comes in our lives. He cleanses us. He makes us new. And then we immediately turn from him. Why would Jesus, who is God, part of the Godhead, why would Jesus openly cleanse this man, then openly let him disobey him in front of his disciples? Didn't we just read that in John, that if we are his friends, when we obey his commandments? And that is true if we have not repented and are turning from our sin in any kind of way, we are enemies of God. But we are talking about somebody who has fully come to God, who has fully come to Christ. Not someone who's faking it, not for show. And then we have to understand what Jesus died for and who Jesus died for. He didn't just die for your past sins, so then you won't sin anymore. He died for all sins forever. All sins in the past, all sins in the future. Jesus died for us even though he knows we will mess up. Even though he knows we'll mess up. And this could be where you're at. Maybe you followed Christ a long time ago. And you've kind of fallen away, and maybe you've been back in church for a while, or kind of done things here and there, and you just kind of feel ashamed of what you've done and who you are, and you don't think God should take you back. You don't believe you should be part of that family because of something you've done, some wrong thing you've done. Let me tell you, God's grace is bigger. Whatever guilt you're dealing with, Christ shed his blood on the cross for you. Jesus died even though he knows you're going to mess something up. This is why we need him. This is why if we ask for his grace every single day to walk with us. Because without him, we are nothing. Without God, life is meaningless. Without God, life is hopeless. But with Christ, he will never fail you. He may leave you in a season for a while where you have to recognize who he is in his power, in his glory, in his holiness even. But he has never left you, nor forsaken you. He has put you where you are in this very moment for a specific purpose. So let me tell you again, come to the throne and you will find mercy. Let's see what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. We said this verse a couple times. It's a great verse. It says, and starting in verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. He is rich in mercy. His mercy is immeasurable. No matter what you have done in your life, no matter what sin you've committed for Christ, his grace is greater than that sin. He is open and willing to take you into his family. Well, let's look what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved. that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He is patient towards us. He is patient towards you. He created us. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He's specific in the way he made you. He died for your past mistakes. He died for your future ones. The Lord has seen the beginning. He has seen the end. And now, a question we must ask ourselves then. Am I willing? Christ is already willing. He died for the cross for us. We are told in Scripture to be like Christ also. So are we willing to give up our will for his? Are we willing to give, he gave up his life for us. Are we willing to give our life to him? Not to just dip in some water, not to just say some words. Are we really willing to surrender every moment, every thought, every action into his will? When we feel that pull from God to pull us in a direction, may we be the people who step into that. This isn't something we can be half in and half out. The road to righteousness is a narrow road. There will be struggles, like I said, but God is willing to use you in his kingdom. We must humbly submit to his word. We must dig in his word, and we will find the words of life. Proverbs says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." He will make your paths straight. But if we don't, we only hinder ourselves. We only hinder our spiritual journey. Look what happened when this man disobeyed. Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but was out in desolate places because people were coming to him from every quarter. Because of this man's disobedience, Jesus was not able to continue on in the mission that he had originally set out on earth. It said that he was going out to preach to every town, and now because of this man's disobedience, he was not able to do that. So when we are stepping away from what God is, when we're not stepping into what God is having for us, we're actually stepping away from what he actually has for us. The man did not go show himself to the priest, so the priest didn't have to face the true power of Jesus Christ. As we close out, I'll say one last time. Come to the throne of grace, and you will find the words of life. If you're waiting for God to intervene into your life, he already has. There's a reason you're here at this moment. Either someone or something has pulled you here today. God is willing to use anyone, no matter your background, no matter what you've done. You need to step into what God is telling you. You need to get into his word and follow the Lord. Maybe that's just beginning a relationship with him. Maybe that's just reading his word. Maybe that's baptism. Next week is baptism. It'd be a great time, great day to start your journey with Christ. Whatever that looks like for you, we would love to walk alongside you here in New City. Find me after the service. Find Ray. Find someone with a Here to Serve shirt. But don't go another day without walking alongside the living God. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I just thank you for this, the sun shining and the beautiful weather we are getting lately. Lord, I thank you for your willingness for us, Lord. Even when we are not willing, Lord, you are already willing. We thank you for your willingness to die for us, to be made right with God. We thank you for, even though we don't always do what you tell us, you still love us and care for us. And Lord, I pray that we will be willing people, willing to follow you, willing to step out of our comfort zone and find true peace, true mercy, and true love. We thank you for who you are, Lord, and all these things we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.